We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Beach and Company here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is 10:08. Michael Caputo in for Sandy. You'll have him back on Friday. I've had a great week talking to all of you about the news of the day. We've had a lot of news breaking this week that we've talked about. We've actually broken some news ourselves, national news here on WBEN. And today I wanted to bring in a series of my friends, at least a couple. And, you know, I'm really active on social media. I get in, I get in a little, some arguments now and then on social media. So I guess that's what Twitter is all about. But a couple of weeks ago, I got into a spat on CNN with a couple of paid contributors there, one in particular who called me a racist in a discussion about Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford. I couldn't understand why she did that, and I actually trended on Twitter, which takes a lot, by the way, and I was attacked literally 6,800 times by people calling me every name in the book. And then, in the middle of it all, this lone voice from the wilderness came out of nowhere, a Sharika Soul, who I noticed that this woman has over 100,000 followers on Twitter, and she just came to my defense, not knowing who I was. And after that, I thought I better reach out to her, because I went through her Twitter feed, and this woman is an absolute independent thinker, and by the way, extremely talented and creative. Tony, play a little bit of her music. You gotta love that. I don't care what kind of music you listen to, that gets your feet moving. And you know, I'm a big music fan. You all know I'm a deadhead, but I gotta introduce you guys to Sharika Soul, because there are a lot of African American voices out there emerging, independent of the liberal kind of groupthink that we've been experiencing for generations. Sharika, thanks for coming on the air with us today.
Hi, Michael.
How you doing?
So much. Good. I'm so excited to be here with you, and thank you for that introduction. I'm blown away. Thank you so much.
Well, you're a unique individual, an original soul, as they say. And I got to tell you, you catch a lot of flack on social media because, you know, even though it's not unqualified support, you support the President of the United States, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do support Donald Trump.
Why? It takes a lot as an African-American woman, who's especially someone who has worked in the entertainment industry, to step out and say, hey, look, some of this actually makes sense. What really makes sense the most to you out of the kind of Trump agenda?
You know, I'm really impressed by his willingness to go after pedophiles that work in the government. You know, since he's been in office, I've seen via, you know, the Justice Department that they've actually started arresting CPS workers and people that work on the inside of some of these, you know, child safety protective departments in America. And usually those people are the last on the list to be brought to justice.
And that stuff's gone under the radar a lot.
It has. The mainstream media has, like, barely, like, not even mentioned it, which, you know, it speaks volumes of where, you know, what it is they really care about. But yeah, you know, for me, Donald Trump, you know, he's rough around the edges, but at the end of the day, he says what he means, and he does his best to get it done. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with being confident about wanting the best for your country, and he's really good at being confident about it. Whether it rubs people the wrong way or not, it doesn't matter. He is doing amazing things while he's in that administration, and as a person who's dealt with pedophilia, I feel like he's a hero. And I think that there's a lot of people like me that, you know, should that information be presented to them, that would feel the same way. You know, there's not a lot of people in office, Democrat or otherwise, standing up and saying, it's time to lock up, you know, some of these people that are hurting Americans. And I'm just grateful for Donald Trump and his administration for caring about, you know, one of the most destructive acts in America, which is pedophilia.
I've seen a lot of people who have the issues that affect them so deeply personally, issues that are individually very important to them, come forward and say, you know what, this administration is actually dealing with the issue that I care about. And we see, for example, Kanye West coming forward, really putting himself in danger, not just physical danger, but really his whole career in danger. And I've seen you come to his defense on Twitter, which, what is it? Let me see real quick. Your Twitter handle is LadyThriller69. LadyThriller69. I'm talking to Sharika Soul, who is an individual and a unique soul. Sharika, what do you think of the way that Kanye West is being treated?
I think it's disgusting. I honestly, that was one of the main reasons I left the resistance in December 2017, is I saw that in real life, these people are just as racist and, you know, judgmental and vile as the people they claim that they're fighting. I think to sit up a black man who on his own is empowered socially and economically and financially on his own, by following his own path, and then trying to tell him that he has somehow, you know, he's on the wrong path, you know, I think it's bizarre and it's crazy. It's like they're saying, we would rather you be in Chicago being shot up, you know, and being poor and voting with us, and we would deem you acceptable. And I think to strip him of everything he's accomplished simply because they don't like a political affiliation he has or a political opinion, to strip him of everything that he's actually accomplished as a black man that was born in Chicago, is the most racist thing I've ever seen. I mean, they tell black men to go out there and to, you know, ditch the gangs and go to school and make something of themselves. And that is exactly what Kanye West did. And now it's not good enough. Now it's not good enough. You know, and I think it's disgusting. I think it's sad because he does have children, and people are just so, you know, civility is gone. No one's thinking, like, you know, he has kids and family, and, like, you know, these words that we're saying about him, calling him a token Negro. Now we have all social media just letting it fly, you know, and it's emotional for everybody. As much as some people want to act as if certain things don't hurt them, this does hurt. As a black woman, it hurts me to see the people that say they care and love and would stand up for me, sticking up for, I'm sorry, care and love, you know, see them hurting a black man who, you know, we've seen Black Lives Matter protesting about black men's lives and all of that, and they could give a crap about Kanye West. So, yeah, that's my opinion.
Well, I'll tell you, I know you were incensed about that interview on Don Lemon where Bakari Sellers, who's a friend of mine, and others were calling him those names. I don't want to play that because I never want to see that clip ever again in my life.
Right.
But Don Lemon was laughing uproariously about it. What do you think of that?
Of Kanye. You know, Don Lemon is the guy that wanted to be friends with the guy that was like Kanye in high school. And he couldn't be friends with those guys. And so now Don Lemon sits on TV in all his glory, you know, being petty and bitter, even though he's also in his own right an extremely successful African-American man. For some reason, he's not secure enough in his own power and using his own voice and his own platform to move the people. He wants to lash out at Kanye. But I really think he's jealous, and I think that Don Lemon wasn't a cool kid, and this is his way of lashing out at the cool kids. You know, I don't remember Don Lemon being, you know, a part of the hip-hop circle. I mean, I've been in Los Angeles now and doing hip-hop PR, and I've never seen him in any of those circles. So I feel like this is his way of lashing out at the hip-hop community because they've never really accepted Don Lemon. Let's just be honest. He's not really, you know, there's nothing. I mean, he doesn't have real swag, like, you know.
Right. Well, I get what you're saying, but I think it's really incredibly telling to me that they're hawking on Kanye West having sought mental health treatment in the past and saying that, well, that's an indication that he's just lost it. Doesn't that really bothers me? Does that bother you?
It bothers me and it makes me emotional because they don't know him well enough. If his own wife and the people that are spend time with him every single day are not coming out and saying, we are concerned about Kanye, this is erratic behavior, then it's nobody else's business. Of course, he's a public figure, so it's, you know, people are going to comment, and we're all going to kind of, you know, observe and give our talking point 2 cents on it. But the reality is we don't know him well enough to diagnose him to the degree that he's being diagnosed. To say that he needs help, what does he need help with? Because from what I see, is a black man who is doing his best to show the world that he can be, you know, that Kanye dude, but it's really in our best interest to get along with people of all walks of life, whether they're billionaire Republican or they're the dude down the street. We're not going to get anywhere if we don't talk to each other. So I don't know what he needs help with other than, you know, maybe a new iPhone password.
I think what they're saying is he needs help being escorted back to the liberal ideology. That's what they're saying. What else?
They want him to be a ghetto, poor savage, you know, living off of some woman who's, you know, eating off her food stamp card, draining all of her resources, playing, you know, Xbox on the TV while she smokes blunts and, you know, pop. I'm just going to go there. That's what they want him to be. They want him to be an uneducated scallywag. And that's how I see that. Is where else would they want him to be? You know, he's so successful. He's literally financially empowered because of his success. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to like him. He can move to Colorado and not talk to anybody for 2 years, and he would still be rich and make money every day when he wakes up. So, you know, for me, for them to say, oh, he needs to be fixed or he needs help, it's like, you know, I look at that as they're saying, you're not desperate and feeling oppressed and feeling, you know, all of these negative emotions we want you to feel because we feel that way. And, yeah, it's more of a come back to the Democratic plantation. I don't really like the word plantation, but, yeah, it is more of that, you know, come keep believing our lies. Because I'm not super right or super left wing. I'm just a person that I feel like, look, the Democrats have always used black people in their campaigns and on their platforms, going out of their way to directly speak to us, you know, in headlines like Michelle Obama recently did, asking black women to vote with her. But if we look at the last 150 years, nothing's really changed. Black people have always gone on and worked with the people who are willing to work with us, and that's how we've survived. There's never been this massive Democrat, you know, government program that's come along and saved all of our lives, and we're all sitting around with $50 million in a suitcase and a unicorn in our backyard. They haven't kept one single promise they've made to the black community. It's 2018. It's been 152 years. Literally, since slavery ended, and we shouldn't give them any more time. It's just time's up. You know, they need to regroup and call themselves something else. But that's my message, is that these people have not kept their promise. You know, why would we keep, you know, giving our money to the guy who keeps robbing us?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Sharika Soul, ladies and gentlemen. Sharika, you are an individual thinker. You know, I appreciate that so much that nobody can define you, conservative, liberal, whatever. But, I find you so compelling when you speak, whether it's on social media, at Lady Thriller 69, or on this radio show. I'm so proud to have you on. You know, many years ago, a friend of mine told me, Michael, you are a people collector. And I said, what do you mean? He says, you look for original souls, and then you collect them, and you keep them for the rest of your life. Lady Thriller 69 on Twitter, Sharika Soul, I'm collecting you officially. Officially.
Collect you too.
And you and I are going to work together, Sharika. Ladies and gentlemen, Sharika Soul at Lady Thriller 69. You got to listen to her. Got to watch her. You got to her music is incredible. Sharika, you have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me on, Michael.
My pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, Sharika Soul. We'll be right back after these messages here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's 10:38 here in the studios of WBEN. 803-0930 is our call-in number. Give me a ring. Let's talk. It's also *930 on your cell phone. 30930 is our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. On the phone right now, we have Frank in Williamsville. Frank, thanks for calling in, man.
Michael, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You got it, man.
I've been wanting to talk to you since Wednesday when I talked to Bella Villa, and you were on as well. Let me put it this way. I have a daughter, one daughter, and her and I see absolutely never eye to eye on political issues, but I love her more than anything, right? And then I thought to myself, yeah, but Caputo likes the dead, and I like him a lot, so I mean, I guess I could have to live with it.
You're more of a Beamer guy.
I don't understand, but Michael, I understand what you're saying, but you got to understand, like, I'm a conservative guy. Like, I don't want... I don't want to be have anything to do with the government. I don't want anything to change, right? I want things to stay the way they are. I'm not on some kind of crusade for anything, and I understand what it takes to get involved. I mean, the other day I was in my driveway, and a guy came up. I'm actually in the Independent Party, and people come up to ask me for signatures all the time, and the guy asked me for a signature for Ranzenhofer, and I like, why are you asking for signatures? He goes, well, every time there's a ballot, we have to get all these signatures to legitimize the guy. I'm like, the guy's been like a councilman or whatever for years. And I'm like, you got to continuously run. This two-year cycle they have for Congress, I think, is ridiculous. It's got to be longer than 2 years. All they're ever doing is campaigning. They never actually have time to, which I guess is okay because I don't want them to do anything anyway. But they never have time to do the job. They're constantly campaigning. It just seems to me that the people like myself that would like to get involved, then you even think to yourself, well, it's going to be a total prying into my personal life as well, right? There's so many reasons. And then when you get there, you've got the party bosses who tell you what to do. I think you might understand what I'm getting at.
I do.
I'm wondering, like, the overall tone is, how are you going to find candidates anymore when the situation is the way it is?
It's tough, my friend. It is really tough. Like, when I first talked Bella Villa into running for Congress in 2012, David Bella Villa, one of our favorite guys here on WBEN.
Yep.
You know, he doesn't have to do that. You know, David is actually very successful. People understand he's a talk show host here on WBEN, but David's successful far outside of this radio station. He doesn't even have the time to consider a candidacy, but he has this sense of public service that, of course, was exemplified in his heroic service to the United States in the Army in Iraq. But there are very few David Bella Villas in the world. I've worked in elections all around the world, all over the place, places I'm not even going to talk about. But, you know, typically you get a person who maybe doesn't have other options or, you know, isn't really into the, you know, trying to make it on their own in the private sector. Or, you know, came up from the, you know, spent their time in the trenches, worked in the town council, then worked in the, you know, the legislature of the county, and then worked in the state assembly. They kind of climb in that ladder slowly but reliably. They've always been there for the political, like the county chairman. And it comes time for a candidate for something like Congress, and they're next in line. And their only qualification is time in seat. And for me, like, people ask me, why don't you run for office? I would never run for office because I would never – I mean, I've been under scrutiny a lot more than most people lately, but I wouldn't want to withstand the indignity of running for office. It really is double – Frank, it's both. It's number one, people don't have, you know, people just aren't there for the right reasons. And secondly, the indignity that you face by running for office nowadays, people are just, it demotivates people. So we are probably facing more of a challenge recruiting good candidates now than we ever have. And then you have the other problem, and that's raising money. People don't give money to political candidates anymore. So, you know, the county chairman and the other leaders of the party structure are stuck with trying to find a candidate who can fund their own election. So you have people aren't interested. You have people who are afraid of the indignities, and people can't raise the money. So we end up with awful candidates.
One of the reasons I like Donald Trump's candidacy, and I voted for the guy, is because he's what I thought he should be. A guy who's made it in the world. He was successful. He's got money, and he goes in to do his thing for his country, and that's it. He's done, right?
Right.
Kind of like the gentleman politicians we had in the beginning of the country. Right? They didn't. Washington wasn't the place to be all the time. They were on their farms, and they went into Washington. They did their thing, and they left. Right.
Right.
But now it's become this whole, you know, 24/7 thing, and I think a lot of it has to do with technology. I mean, I tell my daughter sometimes, you ever write a letter and just sit on it and not send it, and 2 days later you're like, thank God I didn't send that letter?
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. It's instantaneous. People fire off on Twitter or on anything else, and it just, they don't even think about what they're saying. And it's become this animal where, like, it's taken on its own life, so to speak, right? But on the other hand, we're the blame for it. We vote for these people, you know?
That's true.
How many people vote? 45% maybe vote in an election?
In some states, it's much lower. You know, when I was working in Russia, yes, indeed, that cues in the FBI listening apparatus. But when I was working in Russia, I went the president of Russia at the time, Boris Yeltsin, they sent me around the country to try to build a youth movement that we called Rock the Vote Russia. And I would always say in my speeches at these different universities that the people of Russia actually vote in higher percentages than the people of the United States. And they would be shocked. And I said, in fact, you know, the people of the United States really sometimes in some places we get in the low double digits, you know, we get like 20%, 15% people voting in off-year elections, town elections. And the people in my audiences could not believe that. They were absolutely shocked that the world's leading democracy, people didn't really care. It's astonishing.
Because they're too busy with the rest of their life. They don't think it affects them when it does. But the reason I brought up that technology, Michael, is because I feel like if anyone who gets into politics, it's going to be, they're going to be labeled almost immediately, right? And it's so hard to, there's no one takes the time to investigate what these people are all about. Like, for example, with government, like the health care bill, right? It's 5,000 pages long. You can't even read it before you have the time to vote on it. Who's writing that thing, right? Like, I mean, how does this government, it's a monster of its own being, right? It's like artificial intelligence gone bad, right? I mean, it's like, how can you manage government? It's gotten to the point where that's why every vote is like party line, right? 50-48 or 50-50, and somebody's got to break the tie or something, right? There's just no room for actual debate and actual examination of what this is all. It's just like people waving flags, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know, people, I get that. You know, I'm a captive of technology. So are you. You know, we all are.
Yeah.
And we have it's a double-edged sword. First of all, I think that's the wrong truism. There's two faces to this problem. One is the people behind the technology companies are there to make a profit. They may talk about being society focused and et cetera, but Mark Zuckerberg, he wants to make money. Don't forget, Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook took $100,000+ from Russian government entities. They didn't even check it out. Right, these Russian government entities were utilizing Facebook to see if they could, you know, get in on the election. You know, I spend money for clients on Facebook all the time. $100,000 doesn't get you a cheeseburger on Facebook. So they were just kind of experimenting. They didn't really have an impact there. But Mark Zuckerberg didn't have a problem taking money from Russians. Now he's kind of embarrassed about it. But at the other side of things, like, for example, Frank, I'll give you a good example. I'm absolutely committed to bringing out the vote in New York 27, bringing out the vote in the 147th Assembly District. You know, I am a paid advisor to my very good friend David DiPietro. I have to say that on the air here so people understand. I can't talk about it much because of, you know, FEC issues. But, you know, tomorrow on Saturday, for example, I'm running, you know, get out the vote operation with door-to-door people, you know, people, volunteers coming out I'm actually meeting them in Derby, and we're doing this whole Evans door-to-door thing. All, you know, I'm looking for volunteers, right? And in order to get those volunteers, I'm going to Facebook, right? And I'm only asking people for a couple of hours. And they, I see on Facebook that they're responding with thumbs up. They're responding with smiley faces or go get them, Michael. But you can't get them off the couch. They think by checking like on Facebook, they're helping get out the vote in the Evans area. But they're not, right? So you have the people at Facebook who are just want to make money. And you have the people who use Facebook who think they're doing something when they look at it.
Well, I understand technology, but part of the other issue as well is it's a barrier, but it's also you can go viral and become countrywide known in like a day or two, right? If you
right.
do the right thing. But let me just get to the end of basically with this, because Fox and CNN and MSNBC, they're also businesses too. They're also in it for the money, right? They're in it for eyeballs. They're in it for
same with WBEN.
Absolutely right. Okay, so they're not in it because they're out of their benevolence to our government, our United States, how it's set up here. So it's like everybody's got their angle on everything, right? And it's just it seems like there's this big game you have to play. Rather than if you're just a guy who wants to just go, I believe in less government, I'm going to go to Congress and work for that. That the maze to get there is so incredible. It's almost like it's just not worth it. I mean, a guy like Della Via, who's been through what he's been through, and he's got young children, and he's already done his service, you know.
I mean, that ain't going to stop him, though. He's got public service at the cellular level of his body. It'll never stop him.
And I vote every time I can, every chance I get to vote. That's my patriotic duty. And you know, if the country ever needed me, of course. But you know, there's only so much I can do. I feel like, you know.
Well, Frank, meet me in Evans tomorrow, and walk door to door. That's what I'm saying. You got to get off the couch. We all do, Frank. You sound like a very active guy in Williamsville. I hope you are. But you got all of us got to get off the couch. Everybody does. Democrat, Republican. You know, I may be working with David DiPietro, but Luke Wachensky's people need to get off the couch too. Right?
Well, yeah, and that's, I think that's part of it too. You got Frank Luntz and Fox telling us, putting out there how he thinks everybody, the country feels. And there's a whole bunch of people like you're talking about right now and I'm talking about that they could get up off the couch and change the whole thing, right?
I love you, Frank. Thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, I love you too, man.
All right, take care. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a question on the board here. What is Sharika Soul's Twitter handle? It is @LadyThriller69. @LadyThriller69. We'll be right back after these messages here on WBEN. It's Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I want to get right to Ann in Buffalo before the top of the hour. Ann, I just wanted to get you on the line here before we have to go to a commercial break. Thanks for calling in. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. And how are you?
Great. Great to hear from you.
The lady, I've never heard of her before, but you know something? She was right on point. She was right on point.
Sharika Soul, S-O-A-L. She's an amazing person.
Okay, she was right on point. And the reason I say that is because Black people, they really should stop and they should realize a lot of things. You know, people go, they call you the N-word. And as far as, what's his face, that guy, who cares what he say? Who cares what he say? Because when he's talking about Kanye West, somebody right behind him is talking about him. You can go to these people and you can ask them, what does the N-word mean? They would bit more know what it meant and the man in the moon. See, it's okay to be ignorant, but you don't have to be blatant to be ignorant. And when I look at Don Lemon, that's what I see. Even before the Kanye West deal came up, I've always had a problem with him, you know, within myself as to what he said out of his mouth. He's in a position, he got to follow the lead. If you say jump, he got to say ha-ha. And it's not, and it shouldn't be like that. It's like that all over. And this man is making his money, just like Don Lemon is making his money. So what's the difference? What's the difference? See, black people, that Don Lemon should realize that was up once upon a time when we was called the N-word, too. As a matter of fact, we don't have to go way back once upon a time. We can turn out back, and they do it right now. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Oh, absolutely.
They need to stop with all that nonsense. As far as black people, Donald Trump is in a position, and he...
And we only got 15 more seconds. Thanks. Keep going.
Okay, and he has put black people in a position, black men and women, where they are making money. They are making money. And the Democrats, all they want black folks to do, to be poor, needy, and uneducated, just like that lady said. And
And thank you so much. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we got to go to commercial break. Thank you so much, darling, for calling in. Joe, don't we have some kind of cash code?
We do, Michael. And, you know, sometimes when people hear Michael Caputo on a rant, which we all love here at BEN, they get full of rage. That's the cash code for 11. Rage, R-A-G-E. Text it to 72881 and have a chance to win $1,000.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.